This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, the home episode. As always, I'll be your host, Ted Smith, and upstairs now in the left square this week is Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Big election tomorrow, everybody. Hopefully everyone's staying safe and having a good time and make sure to cast your ballot.
That's it. All right, back there getting the studio, the Zoom studio all set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
What's up, man? I'm just listening to our intro music in my head. Since we can't actually hear it, people will post, so I'm just bouncing with it. I know it well enough.
As always, thanks everybody for checking out the podcast. I do always enjoy seeing a LARP on when we get some emails to the men's room. Seen a few more of them, so been putting the promo for us in the front of the men's room daily podcast, so hopefully that's helping.
Hell yeah. Arf, arf,
arf. Nice. We had a couple of LARPers come into the popcorn shop.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They don't actually... Are we calling our fans LARPers? I'm not really sure, but a couple of people who listen to the podcast. It was great.
Right. Like, I always forget. That was old school. I mean, that was like the first few podcasts. We were goofing on LARPers, and then all of a sudden it became our hashtag.
Yeah, I'm like, now are we LARPers? I'm not really sure. Yeah, are we live-action role-playing as podcast hosts?
Part of me is like, we can't call our listeners that. They don't LARP. And then it's like, we don't LARP either. We say LARP on all the time.
Matt, we've LARPed.
We have LARPed. We do not LARP.
We don't actively LARP.
Right. That's retirement.
Fine. Well, right. I mean, it's like, if you've ever been fishing, does that make you a fisherman?
This is a live action retirement party.
I was going to say, like, what else could people... You know, there's a lot of things you can role play. I mean, you think of a LARPer as in like somebody who's maybe like role playing a medieval scene, but realistically, I mean, LARP could be a pretty broad definition. And we could
so like if my girl wears like an outfit, is that and I we hook up, does that mean we're LARPing?
That's what I'm saying. If it's a bunch of people at a party, are we live action role playing an orgy? I don't know.
I mean, right. We just had Halloween. Isn't Halloween the epicenter of LARPers?
I feel like, I mean, you know, it's 2020. I feel like we could call ourselves LARPers, but I mean, you know, some people could take issue. I once called myself a nerd and I, you know, had to eat crow for about 2 years.
Dude, that was another awesome early storyline.
That was fun.
We got to bring in the Reverend Fuego to see if Cobb's actually a nerd.
God, I know. I crashed and burned.
By the way, I just got to say, so this weekend we had our annual Halloween party, but it was on Zoom. which was pretty cool. Our buddy Joe set it up. So there was like these breakout rooms. So you could go to like separate rooms and see what people were doing in there. The only issue I had with the breakout rooms is sometimes I jump in a room and it seemed like a real serious conversation. I was like, I don't think I should be in this room.
Dude, that's just like real parties, though. Sometimes you walk up and two people are talking intensely and you're like, oh, nice, I'm going to get into this. And then they're like, da 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 da. And in my third trimester, I found out that, and you're like, oh, God, oh, back up, back up, back up. You know what I mean?
Also, like, if you listen to this podcast, everybody knows I love memes. Like, memes are one of my favorite things in the world. So there's that famous photo or meme going around now of Leonardo DiCaprio. And what is that? Django Unchained? Where he's like got the little wine glass and he's wearing the ascot and he's always just kind of laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddy Webster literally was dressed as that meme. I was like, man.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah. I hit him on Sunday morning. I sent him a text. Just like, dude, I love memes. That costume was the best.
And especially on Zoom where you're already in a meme-shaped box.
Yeah. I mean,
he's already framed on a screen.
I will say the only issue I really have with the Zoom parties, and I think I even brought this up, is sometimes like I'll go to the bathroom or whatever, and then I have to remind myself, like, it's just you at your house, dude. Because you get kind of caught up. It's like, this is a real party. There's like 30 people here.
Dude, I feel like so much of it is like logistics. Like, wait, okay, who's that person who just came in the room? Or wait, how do I get my audio to? That's like a good like 60% logistics, 30% chatting, and 10% cheersing.
There's a lot of cheers. You gotta, you're starting to get a cramp just holding up shot glasses to my computer. Let the big dog eat.
For people who can't see, we all just cheered. And Ted's got a big, big beer going.
Rocking the 2x4 of Coors Light.
The 2x4. Is that the same as a tall boy, or is a tall boy technically a 16er?
Nah, I think that counts as a tall boy. 24-ounce can. Oh. My buddy Brett, he just calls them 2x4s.
Because it's 24?
Yeah.
That's great.
2x4. I like that.
Oh, you guys know Brett. Mm-hmm. Party boy. You met
him. Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, him and his wife are great, man.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were laughing yesterday during the Hawks game. He was texting me pictures. But also, were you guys there when I was still dressed as a taco, or had I switched to off?
Yeah.
Because I was,
dude. Taco. When I got in, you were like between what's that called? Like between parallel universes, like partially in the Zoom chat, but not really responding, just mute. But every once in a while, you just danced a gangster rap inside of your taco outfit.
And then I became like an off-brand version of Jesus, I'm wearing the shirt, Bob Ross. I just had on a wig and then like this sports coat that I got from our buddy Bill.
Bob Ross meets rock bottom.
Right. Bob Ross had a long
day. Nice.
The other thing I would bring up is that, man, I don't know if it tastes any better, but small little candy bars, like I got a little bag of candy and then like all day, like yesterday, me and Sean were just munching. I was like, I like the little bars. Now, granted, you eat like four or five of them, you might as well just got a regular candy bar. But there's something exciting about eating just like, well, I'll just have one cup.
Ratios. Ratios, Ted Smith. I always say it every time we bring up food. It is a game of ratios, and I'm with you. The small candy bars, the ratio is just different. It hits a little different. It's, you know, it's about the thickness of the chocolate relative to the nougat, relative to the caramel. I'm on board. I think the little ones taste best, and I feel like probably the biggest standout for me that I never eat in any other circumstance, Three Musketeers.
Did we have this conversation on Halloween, or was it last week on the pod? We've had this conversation in years past, for sure. I feel like we already had it this year, but I'm on board with everything you guys are both saying.
No, we definitely talked about it last week here on the podcast.
Okay.
Dude, I was just
confirming our stance on candy ratios. Yeah.
The other one I feel like we always have is whether green and red M&Ms are the best tasting Christmas M&Ms. That's a Ted Smith conspiracy theory.
Yeah, the Smith brothers have been working on this theory for years.
I mean, the man bleeds Christmas. He was literally born on Christmas Eve, Cobb.
Way better than Jesus. That's my favorite line. I've heard Ted slip that into conversations honestly over 40 times in my life. Like, well, I mean, whatever. Like, people are like, oh, your birthday's on Christmas Eve? That sucks. Like, yeah, whatever. Day better than Jesus. But anyway, just like always.
It usually it goes over well, but every once in a while, people are like, did you just say you're a day better than Jesus? Like, don't just keep it moving. All right. We're LARPing.
Don't overthink it, man.
Who compares
green M&Ms to shred M&Ms?
Who do you think you are?
All right. Yeah. So we were also just talking about the weekend, obviously football. We were having a little conversation about different foods everybody ate. Apparently Matt and I both ate too much spicy food, but I feel like for whatever reason, that to me is just part of like a football Monday. Like you wake up and it's like, yep, stomach doesn't feel awesome.
You got to wake up with some regrets after a weekend. A good weekend, you're going to have some regrets.
Yeah. And during the regular, you know, every other, you know, like in the summertime and stuff, like you go do stuff on Sunday. But when it's NFL football, it's like, we got to get some. I mean, you know, you guys aren't really drinkers, but it's like, ah, I got to get a couple beers. If no, like, but at least the baseline is like, we got to get something good to eat.
Dude, I'm so happy you got that hot dog in a couple weeks ago. I mean, we almost went the full summer. Not a dog. I got a hot dog sandwich, and it's not really the same.
Hot dog sandwich?
Are you guys not familiar with the hot dog sandwich?
I mean, you're talking about putting it on white bread?
Yeah, but there's some particulars. You cut it down the middle lengthwise, open it up, put it on light bread, but then you cut it widthwise, like you put it on between two slices of light bread. So it's four, you know, two hot dogs. So four little half cylinders, but then you cut it the other way. So it's like four little partial dogs on each side. Anyway, that's just, I don't know, man. I feel like that's a classic.
Yeah.
Ketchup on there. Boom.
That's how I discovered I like cheese on my hot dogs. Like cheese and ketchup, because it looked like a sandwich. I thought, I want to put cheese on this. Cheese and ketchup and hot dog seems good. And it was. And now, you know, regular hot dogs and buns. I'm like, where's the cheddar at?
Dude, well, and that's the thing. There's a little bit of controversy surrounding even calling it a hot dog sandwich because, you know, RGB, RIP, had ruled that a hot dog was a sandwich. And a lot of people feel differently. I do. But so then to have a hot dog sandwich was kind of like mini cupcakes, you know?
Yeah. All right. So we've had this argument before in the men's room, but it's like burgers, right? Like technically burgers are a sandwich, but I feel like what makes a burger is like the form round patty. Now it could be a fish burger. It could be regular burger, turkey burger, whatever. But it's like at the end of the day, if it's in between two pieces of bread, technically I think it's a sandwich.
That's kind of, you know, that's what Ginsburg had to say on it. I feel like, you know, degree of specificity is important. And so obviously you could be like, oh, I'm going to eat fish or I'm going to eat halibut. But at a certain point, there are some fish that just get to, you know, a level that you just like, you say, if you're eating Copper River salmon, you're not like, oh, I'm going to have a fish sandwich. It's like, no, man, you're eating Copper River salmon. So I don't know. I feel like the burger in its own right, it has become such a star that it wouldn't be fair to say it. It's like listing like the minor achievement of, you know, what's that dude's name from Justin Timberlake? You're like, oh yeah, he was a Mickey Mouse Club guy. It's like, that's more of a footnote in this biography, you know?
And you so sing the chorus. Say,
what?
That Black Eyed Peas song, Where Is the Love?
Yeah, dude, exactly. It's like, man, come on. Like, it's a freaking cheeseburger. There's a whole goddamn category. There's tens of thousands of restaurants pushing those out from America to the rest of the world. It's like, maybe it's a sandwich, but that's really a footnote.
All right, let me hit you with this. So when I go back east, I like this place called Lido's Pizza. And it's square pizza because they never cut corners.
Love it.
So my buddy Alex went with a very bold, and the pieces are only like that big, right? See, they're mm-hmm. tiny pieces. But he started taking like two a piece and folding them together and eating them like a Pop-Tart. So I was like, at that point, the crust works as bread. Did he just make a sandwich?
Okay. So yeah, for people who can't see, it's like what, 2 inches by 2 inches, little squares, kind of like the old, what were those called? The Little Caesars Bigfoot pizza. Y'all remember that party pizza?
Oh,
good times. first
that
of all.
Bigfoot pizza was legend. I remember.
Dude, God, yes. The stuff of legend, exactly. Dude, my brother and I were obsessed with them. We only had it like twice, but we saw the commercials for years.
Oh, I remember it was like a Friday night. And like in my house, that was a thing. Friday night, you got pizza. But I remember when that Bigfoot pizza came out, we drove from College Park over to Beltsville. And it was like, wasn't the whole thing? It's like, it's 3 foot of pizza.
It was massive, dude. It was like a party sub of pizza. But so you're saying basically took two of those little squares, folded them together. So you almost had like a s'more sized pizza and you're going sandwich. Is that understanding you correctly?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. Like at that point, like it technically fills the requirements to be a sandwich, I think.
It's a grilled cheese.
Which is a sandwich.
Bread and cheese.
Well, you know, I mean, what is a taco? Like, are we defining only by shape? Because, you know, I fold my pizza if it's greasy, but I would never call it a pizza taco.
I mean, look, I don't know. These are serious questions. I don't have the answers. I'm just throwing them out there.
Dude, I'm just a small-time pizza lawyer. I don't know.
There's no rule.
Yeah, leave it to the city bigwigs. Yeah.
Right, there's one rule. I will also say this, when you were talking about your hot dog sandwich, when I was a kid, right, my mom would do the same thing, like split the hot dog down the middle, like butterfly it and cook it in a pan. And this sounds kind of sick, but it was always the thing. If you put your fork on it and squeeze it down, she'd be like, you want to hear the piggy squeal? Like, make them squeal, Mom. Make those piggies squeal.
Jesus Christ. Dad, I'm just having like deliverance flashbacks right now.
Well, it's funny because Cobb and I picture your mom at her current age. And, you know, like, it's just a fun visual. Like, seeing her now, just like, she probably looked different. And it's still a funny thing, but I'm just imagining your present day mom saying that to baby Ted and like, God damn, Maureen.
You know, the older someone is, the more evil it feels.
You're so
sure.
Sweet.
I never thought it was aggressive till I brought it up on the air one day and Miles and Thur were like, dude, that's kind of weird. It's like, no, you make the piggy squeal and they squeak.
Dude, I'll say this, Matt, you mentioned visuals, just the visual of Ted just taking a sip out of like that giant Coors Latte. That's a good vibe for this cast today, man. Nothing looks like a little thermos on the Zoom cam.
It does.
Well, I mean, that's honestly, like, we always tape on Tuesdays. This is kind of my Monday move. Because generally I'm out of beer for the weekend. So it's like, am I going to buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack? Let's get a couple 2x4s.
Just get the 2x4 going.
All right. So we'll stop right now. We'll take a quick break. And then we'll talk the fun stuff on the other side. All right, so obviously we taped on Monday night because Tuesday, when everybody's hearing this, is election night. I don't want to go too deep into politics, but I have no idea what is going to happen tomorrow.
Let's call it what it is. Ted Smith's scared right now.
I am a little bit scared.
Tell me why.
Well, generally when protests happen, they seem to end up in this neighborhood.
And like, they seem to end up in your front yard. Right,
like walking to work today, like, there was more things boarded up than have been. And you can tell it's like new stuff. Number one, because there's no graffiti on it. And I was just like, wow. Like, I don't know. There's part of me that thinks whoever wins, like maybe nothing's going to happen or, you know, because when Trump won the first time, you had that women's march and a couple other big marches that had, you know, thousands of people, but there was nothing. I don't know. There was no, I hate to use the word riot. There was none of that kind of stuff.
Ted, I agree with you. It feels like the city is bracing for impact. It feels like people are literally battening down the hatches and preparing for, you know, a socially motivated hurricane. I think it's going to be, I think it's, you know, the storm that never comes. Frankly, I think that I mean, you can use whatever term you'd like for people who are liberal or live in liberal cities, but just for fun, the Antifas, I think that the Antifas are worried that, you know, right wing, you know, it's tough to not mince words. You know, people right, who are Donald Trump fans are, yeah, you know, patriots, in air quotes, are going to you know, come in and try to establish law and order, whatever. And then I think that the news sources on, you know, the right wing side have those people convinced that Donald Trump is the last thing standing between, you know, Antifa and total destruction of the United States. And I think ultimately people are acting out of a place of fear, and neither side, you know, both sides are reasonable, but perceived by the other side as unreasonable. So I think both sides think the other side's going to do something and they have to be there to stop it. And in reality, I think that we'll see a couple isolated incidents. It does depend on who wins, but I think we'll see a couple isolated incidents. Maybe one or two cities have big events. I'm calling Philadelphia and maybe like a Chicago. But in general, you know, I think things will stay pretty peaceful as the results roll in, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could easily be one of those things where, like you're saying, everybody prepares for this massive thing that's going to happen and then just doesn't materialize.
Yeah, because I don't see how it happens. I mean, you know, in Seattle, it's like, okay, so pretty left-leaning, right? Like if Biden wins, people are just going to celebrate, probably, likely. And if Trump wins, you know, people are going to be upset, but it's not like a bunch of people are going to drive in from, you know, more Trump friendly areas, let's say like, you know, Wenatchee, Snohomish County, whatever, and start burning down buildings because their guy won, you know? So I'm not really sure, but it feels like, I don't think Tuesday night will be the crazy one, but I could see things happening after that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing too, is that honestly, like I have no idea who's going to win this election. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was shocked that Trump won in 2016, but now I'm like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of people going to these rallies and this and that. And that's one of my things. Like, I remember with Hillary, like, people didn't go. I just read one article that was like, listen, I go to both events. There's not many people at Hillary's things. And she's like, I know the polls, the lady that wrote it, say that she's supposed to win Hillary. But she's like, I go to the Trump event and there's thousands of people there.
Well, dude, and here's the thing. You know, with Hillary, it was like, no guy, man, you know, I don't want to, whatever, this will be fun. I don't mean to reduce her to this. She's obviously very accomplished, but, you know, no guys want to f*** her and no women want to be her. And there's a certain amount of running for president that is just a popularity contest. And it is literally the likability factor. And hers was pretty flat. So that being said, Ted, I feel like you made a very salient point earlier before we started this cast about how, you know, how some of the polling works ahead of elections, which is they call people up, you know, phone banks, old school, smile and dial, call people up and say, hey, who are you planning on voting for? We're trying to get a feel. And you were saying, because of some of the conspiracies, the QAnon deep state conspiracies, that many Trump voters don't say who they're going to vote for because they're worried that that is being tracked by some, you know, autocratic machine.
Yeah. And I mean, on some level, I don't even think it's that. I just think it's like people, like some people that vote for Trump don't want to say that. So when a pollster calls, they don't say much, but then they'll vote for it.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So those numbers could be, you know, skewed pretty badly.
So, I will say this. I think the one good thing to come out of this election is that people are going to vote more.
We're already seeing record numbers, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of numbers and like people seem to really, I mean, I even have friends that are like, you know what? I never actually voted before, but now I'm voting. And I'm not saying which side they're voting for, but I'm just like, at the end of the day, as Americans, I think that'll be the silver lining to whatever happens. It's like, go vote. Like, you have a right to vote. Like, people, you know, we fight wars and this and that. Like, it's one of the things you should go do.
Yeah, civic duty for sure. To put Matt on the spot. I mean, this thing's recorded before the election. What, and before any sort of, you know, riots or anything like that, what do you think is going to happen in terms of unrest?
Man, I'm not sure. Tomorrow I'm taking, you know, sometimes I like to avoid problems. And so I'll be going and getting a blizzard at tomorrow night and just kind of staying away from the news and the internet.
Like that. Matt's like, you know what? I'm just going to get a blizzard. Whatever happens, happens.
Catch me in the simulator.
Republican,
like
Democrat, more of a blizzard guy, frankly.
More of a blizzard guy.
I love that, dude. Matt, that is the best answer, honestly, I've heard.
What kind of blizzard are you going to get?
Reese's and cookie dough.
Wow. Powerful.
It's so good. It's my two favorite kinds of ice cream in blizzard form.
Yeah. That's a good call. I'm with you. Like, I don't do it much anymore, but if I'm going to buy a pint of ice cream, it's always half-baked.
Okay.
Dude, that's my jam too. Those, like, those brownie chunks in there? Ooh.
You know what's funny? Like, I really like ice cream, but I went through a phase where I would just eat ice cream, like, every Sunday. I'd get a pint of ice cream. And then, like, well, I don't have to explain this to Matt, but, like, you get out of those even bad habits, and it's like, I had a pint of Ben and Jerry's sitting there for, like, a month and a half.
Wow.
You just don't stop going to, like, crack it open. As opposed, like, it used to be, like, it's Sunday. Like, we got to eat ice cream. Like, do we?
And for the record, if anyone's wondering, Ted never said, I'm done with ice cream. I never told him, avoid the ice cream when we were doing nutrition coaching for that year. Yeah, just kind of, if you're just a little conscious about what you're eating in general, it tends to take care of a lot of the heavy lifting and be very sustainable for the long term. And you don't need to go crazy with a bunch of approaches that are being marketed to you. Common sense will take you pretty far if you stop and use it. Like,
back to basics.
Back to
basics.
2021, boys.
Yeah.
Back to basics.
You know what it is. Nutrition, exercise, read about it.
Dude.
All right, Mr. Cobb, I'm kind of putting you on the spot there. Do we have some emails for this week?
Yeah, and I just pulled them up, and sometimes I can only see part of the subject line. So this one looked like it said accident porn, question mark, but it's actually accident prone. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ted, I know you wanted to keep it short tonight, so I'll click through them, and any short ones I'll read.
I like the idea of accident porn. Like, what's accident porn? It's like, well, it involves a road cone.
How about this, Ted? Yeah. How about this? We'll find out when we return.
Damn right we will. All right, we're back. We're going to find out if it's accident prone or accident porn.
Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
My greatest walk it off moment. About 15 or 20 years ago, I was skiing one sunny day up at Crystal Mountain. I've been taking the same run a couple times in a row. You had to bomb down the steeper upper part and cross a flat stretch to hit a jump. No problem. I've done this hundreds of times. At the bottom of the steep part, I hit maximum velocity and something happened, and my right ski rocketed into my left ski, causing an epic yard sale. During my tumble, one of my skis hit me in my crotch. I ended up on my hands and knees, dry heaving in excruciating pain. Ooh. Felt like one of my testicles was on fire. My day was over. Next day at the doctor's office, he was impressed with the hematoma on my testicle. It was the size of a baseball. It took 18 months to fully heal. Moral of the story, make sure you don't buy skis that are bent. Funny things happen at high speeds. 2,895 days since the Cougs last won the Apple Cup. Go Dogs. Dubs.
Wow. Oh, that sounds so painful. A hematoma on your scrotum?
Wow.
Yeah, that's brutal.
I will say that. Also, I love Crystal Mountain. That's a great mountain.
I was just thinking about that song, you know, like, how do I get back there to the place where Rafa fell asleep? You know, it's all about crystal meth, whatever. And just weird how, like, I don't know how deep, dark, like, drug things are marketed as, like, popular culture or whatever. And Ted, right when you said that, like, I just love Crystal Mountain. For people who don't know, actual mountain, Washington State.
Crystal Mountain is one of the few mountains where you can, like, go up to the top and then ski or snowboard, like, over different runs and get all the way down to the lodge. Like, I've only done it, like, twice, and I ride goofy, and, like, my back leg and my thigh was on fire. I mean, that you're talking, like, a solid, like, 2.5 minutes of riding, which, if you don't do any snow sports, that's a long run.
Rub some dirt on it. How's the greatest podcast in all the land doing?
All the land. Great.
So my biggest walk-it-off injury was the time I burned my leg when I was 10. I was ripping around my grandparents' property on my sweet-ass moped when my bitch-ass cousin Jeremy popped out of the bushes to stop me. He wanted to ride it, and I wasn't having it. I tried to stop, but on gravel, that wasn't going to happen. So it fell over, and the hot muffler landed on my leg when I was wearing shorts. yeah, dude, I'm a smart kid. It was pretty bad, and I definitely should have told my grandparents. But there was a camping trip I was looking forward to, so I didn't tell anyone. I ended up wearing jeans all week, and during the trip in mid-August, they found out and I was in pretty big trouble. Just had to get some ointment and keep it clean. Still have a hairless scar. So you guys also talked about how Ted enjoys Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer interactions. They have a podcast, always packed with laughs. Let's see. They ended up going to a dominatrix. And also your boy Mark Rebillet posted a picture of him and Tom on IG. I don't know if he's going to be on Tom's cast. Take care, boys. Jane, right. P.S. Come on down to Falcon Car Wash.
Yeah, I think their podcast is the Two Bears or something.
Two Bears, One Cave.
Yeah. Matt, have you seen The Cabin with Bert Kreischer?
No, I haven't.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. So it's like Kreischer is going to go to this cabin and try to get his life together and this and that. But he just ends up inviting up other comedians and stuff and just partying and having fun.
Okay. Yeah. Back when I had Twitter, I was seeing good things about it. And yeah, been meaning to check it out. I saw Bert Kreischer get fitted for golf clubs. And now I want to golf with the guy.
But Segura's on one, like the first episode, him and Joey Diaz.
Oh.
Yeah, and they bring in an actual Cuban guy that rolls cigars, and Kreischer gives him a freaking ounce of weed, and it's like, roll a cigar. Like a presidential. Just like,
Jesus.
Dude, that would be, I mean, I sometimes get a, you know, like, I just can't imagine having cameras on and being super high. Like, I get just a little high sometimes and don't want to talk to somebody on the phone. I'm like, I sound like an idiot. I got to go. Like, there's just cameras and lights everywhere, and you're smoking a Cuban-sized blunt? Good Lord.
I just heard a story from the weekend about just somebody I know that maybe does not enjoy too much marijuana. And they were like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to eat a 10 milligram. And then family called and were like, all right, I guess they're coming over. I got to try to play it straight.
Oh, no. I have an idea on who it might be. That's...
So for somebody like Matt and I, it's like, all right, fine, whatever. We can work through this. But this person was like, I was trying to keep it together. They were like pacing around their apartment.
Nightmare scenario.
Yeah, it is funny when you like mention 10 milligrams like it's nothing, or you know, when you do reference like, yeah, I drank an entire one of those 100 milligram drinks, dude, it was crazy, and somebody's like, good, I take half of a 10 milligram and I'm set for the night. You're like,
that's what I do.
Okay. I don't know what that says about me.
Words matter, so do milligrams.
Accident prone. What's up, boys? About 15 years ago, I used to skate down a hill in Ballard that was just at the bend on Market Street where the Taco Time is.
Yep.
The hill was probably 30 to 40% grade and went directly into the Taco Time. Going into the drive-through, there was a significant bump that you have to lift your front wheels or you would eat it hard. After a few hours of day drinking, my buddy, who is accident prone, decided he wanted to try it. I warned him heavily to not do it. He didn't listen and did it anyway. I forgot to tell him about the bump, and he bombed the hill, caught his front wheels on the bump, and went flying directly at the menu sign, missing it by inches.
Oh.
Came out of it okay with a little bit of road rash. I didn't have to tell him he should have listened to me. He knew. Zamboni driver.
Wow.
That sounds so painful.
I know that hill. I know that Taco Time. Like, that was a visceral story for me.
Yeah, that sounds brutal, man.
I've flown off skateboards more times than I can count. Like, all of that just registered so real.
Yeah, by the way, I got to say, skateboarders, like, now that the clocks have changed, y'all got to be careful just bombing down streets. I almost got clipped by a dude on the walk home today. Dude, but it's not like somebody on a bicycle. Like, he had no lights on or nothing. Just like, oh, shit. I almost just hit me.
Did daylight saving time just like totally catch you guys off guard this year too?
Gets me every time, Matt.
Yeah, you, Ted?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of forgot until I woke up Saturday and I was an hour early for the F1 match or the F1.
Oh, okay.
What threw me was the state of Washington voted to get rid of it or passed a measure to get rid of it. But because it's like a federal thing or something, we're still on it. We need some sort of other approval.
Yeah, I think eventually they're going to get rid of it because it's like it's not helping anybody anymore.
They did, but it's back.
Yeah, I'm just saying nationwide. That's one thing I'll stand on. Let's get rid of it.
I'm with you. Arizona and Hawaii have the right idea.
All right, should we check in with what's mattening?
Sure. All right, so kind of, couple wild things this weekend. Can I start with today, Ted? You're going to – I think you'll get a kick out of this, okay? So every day I do my Wim Hof method, which involves jumping into the lake, which is now around 57, 56 degrees. It's cold.
That's cold.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, but it's a ton of fun. I look forward to it. I do my breathing. It energizes me. Apparently it's healthy too. But so I do it every day. And today off the dock, I've seen these dudes before. I've talked to them a little bit too. But there's these two black dudes that come around and they fish on the lake, and a lot of times outside of our house. And like, I've seen them a couple times, but today they were coming out as I'm like in my trunks walking out, and they see me as I'm about to jump into the water. And when I came up and like lifted my head, I could just hear them just in shock and cheering me on. Just
Right. I mean, yeah, they're like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And love that.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I just love about black people that I think they do better than white people. And reacting to shit like that is totally one of those things. And they were just going crazy off the boat when I came up and just started my breathing. And it was like, oh, it felt so good. So that was a fun thing that happened today. I write down that I swore there, but, yeah, that was really just like an unexpected highlight. Like, wow, I elicited a great reaction, and that was a ton of fun. The other thing I wanted to say is for the month of November, I'm doing a daily gratitude list, three things. Seems like a good month to try that on as a habit. I know Cobb's a fan of the gratitude practice.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I do it every night before we go to bed.
Oh, wow. Powerful. I like that.
Good thing to add to the routine.
Yeah. And our listener / friend Michelle came up with that idea. I saw it on her Instagram and I said, I'm doing it with you. You can't stop me. So figure like, hey, everyone else, join the party. List three things you're grateful for every day for the month of November. Just a fun little basic thing, right? We're kickstarting back to basics.
Back to basics.
2021 lookout. Yeah. This is like preschool for that. So this weekend, Friday was kind of, we talked about Halloween. But Friday was kind of big. Well, I guess it started Friday morning. I was working out in the facility with Tyler, my girlfriend, and my buddy from Austin, Texas, that I met when I went down there on this meditation retreat, and I hung out with Cobb for a little bit, but this guy I met at that retreat, Cobb, I had told him, because he's like, oh, you're from Seattle. Like, what Seattle band should I check out? I told him back then, check out A-Ron. And then as I'm working out, he sends me a message on Instagram, like, guess you were right, and shows me that Joe Rogan posted on Instagram about A-Ron's new song, Take Me Away.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, Rogan came out.
Yeah. Yeah, so that
dude,
was
good for A-Ron, man.
It was towards the end of the workout. I wasn't smoked or anything, but I was kind of like just going through the motions and there with Tyler. We're having a good time, moving, feels good. And that next set was just like so amped, like at 11. Boom. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. I was super fired up.
Dude, that's wild, man. Good for A-Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing well, man. And that new stuff sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. So definitely want to give Aaron some love on that. That was a, you know, legit weekend highlight, getting that text of all people from a friend in Texas that I introduced to Aaron, not like anybody I know from Seattle that also knows Aaron. Yeah, it was nuts. And then, yeah, that night, my other buddy, John, who listens to the cast that I golf with a lot, he's really good. He came over. We hung out in the golf simulator for hours, and he taught Tyler and I some awesome stuff, and we were both just like crushing it. It was just a good time, the three of us hanging out. And yeah, he was just a really awesome teacher about it. And my game's coming along pretty solid, boys.
Hey, let those eagles fly.
Whoo! Gotta.
Oh, man. All right. Good to go?
We're good.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Well, we've all seen Bad Santa, one of my favorite Christmas movies. And basically, you know, obviously, well, you know, I don't know how to put this. I mean, I like to break rules. I wouldn't consider myself a benevolent or kind Santa. But as your bad Santa this year, let me ask you this for the Cobb topic. What do you want for Christmas, you filthy animals? Feel free to email us, email thepodcast.com. But I'm just curious what people genuinely want for Christmas. And no, I'm not going Oprah or Secret Santa and sending you stuff. I'm just genuinely curious what people are into.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I feel like at a certain age, it's not about getting something physical, but like, I wish a lot of people would just chill the fuck out.
Inner peace.
Right? We were talking about like with the election going on tomorrow, like both sides, like, and obviously it's only going to be the loud people that you always see the most of. It just seems like both sides are really fired up, or I know this year's been tough on a lot of people, and like people are working from home. They're almost working more than they did when they were at the office. And then I don't know, every meeting becomes a Zoom meeting or this and that. It's like, you know, like when we get to December, let's just chill out for a minute. I mean, obviously we're kind of stuck in the same situation. Like things aren't going to change anytime soon. Like, I don't know, you know, and like, yeah, I just wish people would chill out a little bit. Like everything seems so intense anymore.
Yeah, dude, extreme. I mean, if it bleeds, it leads. Ted, I'm with you, man. I think a little bit of reprieve, a little bit of just a group wide, like deep breath, you know, like our whole nation just needs like a, okay, you know, like kumbaya, we're good, man. And I'm hoping that this Christmas is a little different than some of the consumer Christmases of past, and that people really, you know, appreciate their family and close, you know, friends and relationships. And I think this could end up being a special Christmas. It's not going to be a traditional Christmas, but it couldn't have been a good one for people. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are really noble answers, you guys. I feel like I should change mine, but
Matt, you know what? Matt just needs a new set of DCIs. He's good to go.
You're not wrong. I was actually thinking about a driver. You know, mine's really old. I tried my dad's, which is also pretty old, but then I hit it 300, no problem. And you know, John was saying that they've really, a lot of the new technology's really gotten the spin numbers down, and that'll help my distance on the long ball. So, you know, but world peace first, for sure. If we could do that and I gotta wait a few months for the driver, you know, that's totally cool. Like,
but then that 325 drive, putting it on in one, I hear you.
It's good to have goals, right?
I mean, the only other thing I would say physically I've always wanted, but they're way too expensive, is a Stone Island jacket.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a very specific European brand. Like they have like hoodies and like jackets, and it's got like this little yellow thing on the side. It's got like a compass on it. It's big in like supporter culture and stuff.
Oh,
Stone Island?
Stone Island, but like the hoodies are like $700.
What?
Jesus. Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Dude.
Is it justified?
I will say this. I've only ever seen like, I know like Drake started wearing them. Like you don't see a lot of Americans wearing it, but one day at work, there was like a record guy and he walked in. I was like, is that a Stone Island jacket? And he's like, yeah, man. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, thanks, man. Nobody gets this brand. I was like, I gotcha.
Dang, dude, nice. These do look, wow. Yeah, these are spendy.
I'm rocking a new hoodie.
Going high class.
I'm pretty satisfied with it. It was $40 from Target, but it kind of doubles as a coat. Like, check it out. You zip it all the way up, protect your neck.
Yeah, and trust me, I'm wearing probably the most expensive hoodie I've ever bought, my Patagonia one, which is great. I've had this thing for years. It's solid. But, yeah, the Stoned Island stuff, I'm just always like, God, I want one of those. But that's a hard, I don't know, that's a lot of money to spend on a pullover jacket.
Well, and frankly, Ted, that's a Rubicon. I mean, that's a line you cross and you don't ever come back from. You know, you don't go from Stone Island to Walmart brand. Like, now all your sweatshirts are $600. You know what I'm saying? Like, after you've driven the Ferrari, baby, the Corolla just doesn't quite hit the same.
Right now I'm lifting in a goddamn Stone Island jacket. Like, I have like three of these, whatever. Oh, sure, I'm horribly in debt, but I look good.
It's a lifestyle. No.
But look at this sweatshirt. See that cotton twill?
Oh, all right. I think I'm going to wrap it up on that. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. We'll be back next week, a normal Tuesday taping. Until then, stay safe, everybody. Just right, take a breath. Everything's going to be fine. For MCTP, for Cobb, me, Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.